I'm speaking to you on the 1st of September. It's Thursday night, and at 4:19 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the Bush administration intends to seek more than $10 billion to cover immediate relief needs regarding this latest catastrophe in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Oh, it's a disaster, listeners. And that last week I had such uneasy feelings, and I mentioned that. And I think this is it. I think this is the uneasy feeling I had because, see, this is going to build to a crescendo throughout the country, and you probably realize this as well. The gasoline is going to be becoming an extreme shortage throughout this country. You think it's just happening down there in that area, but yet it will pass on to every state of the union. We are in for it. We are in for shortages in the future. I can easily predict this. It's not a comfortable feeling. I'm looking at pictures in the paper, today's paper. Cars and rubble are seen piled up in an aerial view of damage done by Hurricane Katrina. And they're talking about Long Beach, Mississippi. And I'm looking at all these automobiles here in this rubble. And every one of those automobiles probably had a payment book with them. You know, a payment book, you know what I mean? Everybody's making payments on these automobiles that are ruined and destroyed. Who's going to want to make payments on cars that are ruined, first of all? And many of these people have no money. Many of those people had precious gold in their homes. Maybe. More than likely they did. Some, anyway. This is a disaster for all of us. And we see refugees move to Houston. Well, I just heard on the news just before the broadcast here that people don't like to be called refugees. I don't blame them for not wanting to be called refugees. But this is UN lingo, people. This is United Nations lingo, refugees, to be moved to Houston. And this is the sad commentary to have about all this. So, okay, he's going to do a $10 million deal with Congress. Several officials said $10 billion would cover immediate costs, and that makes sense. FEMA, the government's frontline responder in cases of natural disasters, or created disasters, I will add, several hundred million dollars would also be provided to fund the Pentagon's disaster relief efforts. And isn't it just unfortunate that all our troops are overseas, or a good portion of them are overseas, in this UN Middle East mess? It's the United Nations Middle East mess, listeners. When you do your research, you will find the same thing out. This is the point. The United Nations is not significant. The United Nations is in our backyards, in our front yards, all over the country. Even portions of states are having partnerships with the UN Association. And we see here that FEMA is spending more than $500 million a day as it struggles to respond to devastating flooding. And this requires, a severe destruction that spans the length of the Gulf Coast from Louisiana to Florida. That requires an immediate infusion of cash, said Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Thad Crochin, or Cochran, Republican of Mississippi, with at least two subsequent bills to follow. He said a second bill would be needed in 2 or 3 weeks, at current spending rates, and another bill to follow that one after better damage estimates are at hand. Here we see a quote by Dennis Hassert, Speaker of the House. Actually, it's a statement by Ron Bongean. Quote, it could take a longer amount of time to get all our members back into session. Victims of Hurricane Katrina don't have that kind of time, end quote, said Ron Bongean, a spokesman for House Representative Speaker Dennis Hassert. Billions undoubtedly will mark only the first installment of the federal response to the hurricane that President Bush on Wednesday called one of the worst natural disasters in the country's history. And didn't this take all the pressure off of the confrontation that was leading up to George Bush and Cindy Sheehan and Gold Star Families for Peace? And certainly, I understand that scenario and that situation. I understand people's frustration about their sons and daughters and fathers and mothers going off to war in the Middle East, another Vietnam, where you don't know who your enemy is. It's for the UN system. I'm sorry to say, but I keep having to do it. It's just the way it is. George Bush is just the occupier of the White House right now. The UN system has been in place since 1942, January 1st, officially October 24th, 1945. So understanding this is everyone's paramount responsibility, not mine, yours. Cochran made another statement, quote, we can expect these separate appropriations bills to go through as this recovery process, over $500 million a day being spent by FEMA, end quote. It is not necessary for all members of Congress to interrupt their vacations to return to Washington to approve the funding. Several aides indicated the money would likely be approved without a roll call vote. I see. Quote, it will pass by unanimous consent, end quote, said Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, who said that his office had been told of the plans by the office of the Senate Minority Leader, Harry Reid, Democrat of Nevada. Anyway, it's on the website. It's there for you to see for yourself. And once again, what are we dealing with here? A catastrophe of monumental proportions. What's going to happen out of this, people? Relocation of populations throughout this country. I predict, and I see what's going to happen here, that every state of the union will have to take a certain amount of people. This is the same thing that's going on with foreigners from the other part of the world, all over the world, through the State Department. Migration is going on through the State Department right now. It's been going on for years. Most people don't have a clue about this. But when you do your research onto the State Department, you'll find that this is the case and this is the fact. At 5:22 p.m. today, Eastern Daylight Time, Hassert questions rebuilding New Orleans. It makes no sense to spend billions of dollars to rebuild a city that's 7 feet under sea level. House Speaker Dennis Hassert said of federal assistance for hurricane-devastated New Orleans. This is what I said at the beginning of the week. They're probably not even going to rebuild New Orleans, or they'll make it a minor, sustainable community, and they'll turn the rest of it into a biosphere reserve or let it submerge underwater. I said this at the beginning of the week. Dennis Hassert saying the same thing. But it looks like a lot of that place could be bulldozed. That's a quote by Illinois Republican Dennis Hassert. Hassert, in a transcript supplied by the newspaper, said there was no question that the people of New Orleans would rebuild their city, but noted that the federal insurance and other federal aid was involved. Quote, we ought to take a second look at it, but you know, we build Los Angeles and San Francisco on top of earthquake fissures, and they rebuild too. Stubbornness, end quote. Hassert's press secretary, Ron Bongean, said Hassert was not suggesting New Orleans should be abandoned or relocated. Quote, the speaker believes that we should have a discussion about how best to rebuild New Orleans so as to protect its citizens what he is trying is, or actually what he's saying is that rebuilding the city in the same way is not sensible, end quote. There are some, quote, real tough questions to ask, end quote. How do you go about rebuilding the city? What precautions do you take, end quote. Hassard announced Thursday that the House currently, at the end of its summer break, would return for an emergency session Friday to approve some $10 billion in federal aid for hurricane victims. The beat goes on, America. The created situation is very, very obvious to me. We can't prove it one way or the other. But when you have statements like former Defense Secretary Cohen stating at the counterterrorism conference sponsored by former Senator Sam Nunn in April 1997, quote, others, meaning terrorists, are engaging even in an echo type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, meaning their counterterrorism efforts. And that's a quote by U.S. Defense Secretary Cohen way back when. Listen, I'm getting a phone call here. If you want to call and talk, 559-781-3773 is the number. 559-781-3773. There's been plenty of weather modification information on our website over the past and right now as well, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K. Here we see in the 109th Congress, S-517, to establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and for other purposes. The purpose is to develop and implement a comprehensive and coordinated national weather modification policy and a national cooperative federal and state program of weather modification research and development. To me, this is old news, just new legislation, but old news. You know, weather modification, we've been talking about it for years, or I've been talking about it for years. Darren's been talking about it for years, or months. Anyway, it's S. 517. You can look it up for yourself. So at 6:03 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today, Bush issued a constitutional provision to bypass the Senate and fill a top Justice Department slot with an official whose nomination stalled over tactics at the Guantanamo Bay, Cuba naval facility. Bush used a recess appointment Wednesday to name Alice S. Fisher to lead the agency's criminal division. Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan, had blocked the nomination because he wants to talk to an agent who named Fisher in an email about allegedly abusive interrogations at the U.S. military prison camp in Guantanamo. Boy, I'll bet you Alice Fisher's a real piece of work, listeners. The agent wrote that in weekly meetings with Justice Department officials, quote, we often discussed techniques and how they were not effective in producing that was reliable, and that's what they're talking about, in producing intelligence that was reliable. So, in the next sentence, the agent said Fisher, then the number two official in the criminal division, was among justice officials who attended the meetings. Fisher has said she does not recall participating in the discussions. The justice officials have said the agent did not intend to say she had. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez declined to let senators question the agent, saying it would violate long-standing policy. Alberto Gonzalez, he's a supporter of Aslan listeners, the reconquesting of the Southwest. Aslan, Alberto Gonzalez. He's in the mix in our federal government. For all intents and purposes, what is he? He's in the UN mix, listeners. And that's the problem. Justice Department spokesman John Nowacki said the administration thought it was essential to have Fisher in place given the criminal division's role in the war on terror and national security cases. A single senator can block the nomination, but the Constitution gives the president authority to fill positions when Congress is in recess without waiting for Senate confirmation. Very, very interesting. I received an email today from someone wanting to propose, and maybe it's with an organization, a constitutional convention. And I say, why would anybody want to make a constitutional convention or have a constitutional convention when we haven't lived under our Constitution, really, in all intents and purposes? A constitutional republic is not a democracy. The three branches of government have never really been adhered to. And yes, it goes way back to after the war between the states and during the war between the states. Absolutely. It goes that far back. But it's very, very important. Connect these dots, listeners. Very important. States of America is the world's largest energy producer, consumer, and net importer. It also ranks 11th worldwide in reserves of oil, 6th in natural gas, and 1st in coal. Information contained in this report is the best available as of January 2005 and is subject to change. And so for the latest monthly U.S. outlook by the Energy Information Administration, you can see the short-term energy outlook. And so this information that Dennis has produced for us is very valuable. As of late December 2004, the U.S. economy appeared to be recovering somewhat. The 2004 real growth in gross domestic product, running at about 4.4% year over year. This allows real GDP growth of 1.9% in 2002 and 3.0% in 2003. The U.S. Federal Reserve recently raised its interest rate target slightly, but only to the extremely low level of 1.75% in a continuing effort to stimulate economic growth without encouraging inflationary measures. Well, as I was talking today, the Bush administration enthusiastically welcomed recent Bureau of Labor Statistics figures. And this is all very, very interesting, listeners. Very interesting. And they're reporting with the U.S. economy created 207,000, that's 207,000 new jobs in July. But high government officials ignored what kind of jobs they were. Former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, examined the data and concluded that, quote, 21st century job growth in the U.S. economy has consistently reflected that of a third world country, end quote. Of the new jobs touted by the administration, Roberts pointed to 177,000, quote, in the domestic service sector, end quote, and 26,000 that are, quote, tax-supported government jobs, end quote. In all, he stated, quote, not a single one of these jobs produces a tradable good or service that can be exported or serve as an import substitute to help reduce the massive and growing U.S. trade deficit, end quote. Overlooked, he says, are, quote, reductions in the productivity and pay of employed Americans in the manufacturing, technical, and scientific sectors of the U.S. economy, end quote. Recognizing that the outsourcing of jobs and industries has taken a huge toll on America's productive sector, Roberts asks, quote, where are the jobs for the 65,000 engineers, and U.S. graduates every year. Where are the jobs for the physics, chemistry, and math majors? Who needs a university degree? That's right, who needs a university degree to wait tables and serve drinks, to build houses, to work as hospital orderlies, bus drivers, and sales clerks, end quote. And there is a setup in place. Now, as a result of this latest catastrophe, more jobs will be created. More jobs will be created. And that is quite the scenario, people. Regarding oil, in this country analyst brief from the I guess it would be EIA.DOE.gov. According to the Oil and Gas Journal, the United States had 21.9 billion barrels of proved oil reserves as of January 1, 2005, 11th highest in the world. These reserves are concentrated overwhelmingly in four states, 80% of this. As of December 31, 2003, Texas had 22% of total U.S. oil reserves. Louisiana had 22%, Alaska 20%, and California 18%. U.S. proven oil reserves have declined some 17% since 1990, with the largest single-year decline occurring in 1991. All very, very interesting, very, very drawn-out conclusions and directions. I apologize. I've got a cold coming on of some sort. Quite congested these days. Who knows where it's coming from? But once again, I do apologize. So we could cover this information in the paper, and here we see UN agency warns of bird flu virus. See, the mad cow disease, bird flu, all this is designed to take us off meat, to turn us into vegetarians under UN Agenda 21. Excuse me again, I'm sorry. Thank you. tonight would have been a night to turn the broadcast over to someone else. But guess what? Nobody else wants to do it. Nobody else wants to do it. So here we see the bird flu virus that has hit several Asian countries, likely to spread to Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. The UN Food Agency warned Wednesday, urging nations to at risk to step up surveillance and prepare national emergency plans. See, all these agencies and government workings that are going on have to deal with scenarios. Scenarios, people. Created scenarios. The Hegelian dialectic to bring around the presence of totalitarian control of mankind in everything we do. So, this is all being directed and driven for a purpose. So, here we have all these situations being engineered for us. Bird flu virus, one of them. Mad cow disease, another one. Let me connect to yesterday's paper. Amongst all this going on, 158 landowners set to receive watershed funds. This is under the guise of Agenda 21. And there is the problem. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will pay 158 Oklahoma landowners about $700,000 to protect four state watersheds, a state conservationist said Tuesday. Phone call. Jeff, thank you for saving my voice.
Ah, yes, indeed.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine.
Wonderful.
I'm enjoying my day off.
Your day off from what?
From work.
What do you do for work?
I do security.
Oh, okay. That's a nice service sector job, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It pays the bills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
Well, listen, keep your thoughts in place as we go to commercial pause.
Oh, yes.
Glad to have you with me, Jeff.
Yes, indeed.
And here we go. Stay with us.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Get ready for the 10th Annual Old Pass Christian History Conference, hosted by the Church at Cahuilla, coming the weekend of October 1st and 2nd. Guest speakers will be John Weaver, the author of The Christian and Civil Government. Pastor Weaver's preaching style is in the tradition of those early colonial pastors whose pulpits were the cradle of America's liberty. Thomas McConnell is a noted speaker on biblical covenantalism and economics. John Quaid, he has taken his passion for God's law into practical application for everyday life, and others. Children are welcome. There is plenty of RV parking and tent camping. For more information, and if you would like to receive a brochure, call Pastor Warren Mark Campbell at 559-561-0802 or visit the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage for more information. Thank you. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast. And I see here from Pravda, dated January 27th, 1999, the Earth's future looks black. I wonder what they know that we don't know, Jeff. The Russians, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, I thought you were reading from the Boston Globe. But
no, this is Pravda.
Pravda. Well, anyways, I'm joking. But
yeah.
But seriously, as far as Louisiana is concerned, I'm thinking about the human element, because there is a real human element to this catastrophe, the way the people are reacting and so forth. I mean, if you look back into time, back in 1929, even the crisis back then, as bad as it was,
mm-hmm.
you didn't see all this looting, you didn't see people breaking into stores and taking radios and you just didn't see that. But if you go up to today, for instance, you see people rioting, raping, killing each other. There's a human element that should be factored into this equation. Plus, what would happen if there are a whole bunch of attacks in, let's say, the Northeast and the West Coast? What would happen? Because Louisiana, mind you, is down south. And down south has a little bit more of a Christian moral base compared to, let's say, the Northeast, which is completely secularized.
Well,
what would happen to the inner cities if that would happen? Well, we know the answer. The people in the inner city would burn down the businesses. They would burn it right down to the ground. As soon as they realized that the opportunity is there, they would just go on a rampage. Then what? Then the logical step would be martial law. And I believe that the Louisiana is a good test case to see how people would react under harsh circumstances.
Well, they're sure giving them harsh circumstances, aren't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, and also, too, this is a test case to implement martial law, where the people have been forced to evacuate their homes and be put into a stadium. Now, let's extend this to what would happen if the avian flu hit America? What would happen if these attacks happened? Could people be forced out of their homes and be, let's say, put into individual stadiums like Shea Stadium in New York or Fenway Park or any of these places? And then would people be registered at these places? I mean,
sure.
I could see some real communist style things happening to this country. Real things that would make most people's blood freeze.
How about the concentration camp scenario?
I believe that too. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, why not? Let's take it to the gulags. If people don't fit in with the system, you know, you go from Shea Stadium off to the concentration camp in Alaska or wherever they are located in America, you see.
Yes.
So, I mean, Al Cuppet wrote in his book, America Sold Out, and in his videos, the concentration camps in America that have the ability to cremate bodies. I mean, to gas them and cremate them, just like in Nazi Germany. And then you have the red list, the blue list, and the green list.
Yes.
and that there's already pre-made list of patriots already, and it's just a matter of time before martial law is implemented.
Yeah, and this is according to Al Cuppet, Mr. C, and certainly it can't be discounted. You know, that certainly those that object to the one-world totalitarian government system of the United Nations are going to have to be dealt with.
You're right.
And in order to deal with us, what's the best way to do it, Jeff?
Efficiently remove the people. And also, too, I mean, the Internet, for instance, is a great tool. I can Google search everything. I mean, right after this catastrophe in Louisiana happened, I started doing research on scalar wave technology right off the Internet. But along with the Internet being a powerful tool, it can also be a tool of creating a paper trail on dissidents and patriots. And what if you order a politically incorrect magazine?
Yes.
I ordered the New American for several years.
Yes.
Which I find the New American a very good magazine, but certain magazines, could that put you on a list? I mean,
I think
no.
So.
I mean, certain periodicals, certain tastes that people have, even if you have a website and you do the wrong Google search.
I think so. Yeah.
How deep can this really go? How does the rabbit hole go, you see?
Well, you're connecting all the dots.
Yes. I mean, we have the RFID chip that they're putting on merchandise. Could we take that and put that into people?
Absolutely.
These are logical things. And then, if you really want to take things to their conclusion, the propagandized media is making thinkers and people who wear glasses look like a bunch of geeks. Now, that's funny in the movies, and you get this crud out called the 40-Year Virgin. And you get this crud called Revenge of the Nerds, and people who think as people who have completely no lives, spazzes, you know, subhuman. Now let's take this joke and then move it up to the Cambodian purge. And what did they do in the Cambodian purge? They took people who had glasses and shot them.
Yeah, and you know the same thing happened. I think with that situation in Vietnam, where if you wore a wristwatch, you were shot.
Rich. You considered wealthy. You considered a capitalist.
Yes.
Bourgeoisie. So in other words, the propaganda that's making people laugh now about these kooks and these right-wing nuts and all these categories will tomorrow be the tragedy of tomorrow, where like I'm going to repeat myself, the nerds of today will be the intellectuals of tomorrow who will be shot in the head if they don't conform.
Yeah,
and all you'll have
point.
Left is stupid sheeple that will say, let's not talk about politics or religion or talk about anything, because if you do, you'll get shot in the head.
Yeah, now this article, Earth Future Looks Black, is actually dated today, the 1st. Pravda has been supplying information since January 27, 1999. But this Earth Future Looks Black is dated today, and it says experts say that this year became the richest in natural disasters. At the beginning of August, scientists had already predicted 22 tropical storms in the North Atlantic. Some of them already showed up. Others are preparing to attack. Hurricane Katrina caused problems at the industrial merger Macaud assembly facility, where outboard tanks for NASA shuttles are assembled. And so here we see this situation of weather modification more than likely being engineered to wreak havoc on countries.
Oh yes. I mean, weather modification, that is a big thing. I mean, my internal gut has told me we've gotten attacked. That's just from my gut.
Yes.
But there are strong signals, like you're talking about, that could very well confirm this hypothesis to a theory to a fact. Right now, this is in the most lowest of the hypothesis stage. But as time goes on, people who are in the know will find out whether it was an attack from either the Russians or from us, or whether it was just Mother Nature.
I think it comes from the Security Council of the UN.
Well, David Bay has a website called cunningedge.org that actually has the UN documents that governs weather warfare. So weather warfare is real, and it has been utilized.
Let me ask you, do you have that web address?
Oh, yes, I do. And, in fact, it's www.cuttingedge.org. And David Bay gets his source from Lieutenant Colonel Bearden's book, Fear de Lance, which I was researching that off the web. And he talks about in his book the woodpecker signal, which can create mental illness and can basically do all kinds of damage on the environment.
Okay, that makes good sense, doesn't it?
Oh yes, because look, people are mentally ill today. I mean, people could write this off as right wing pluck and science fiction, but all I have to do is just look at the fruits. And the fruit is people are getting sicker, they're mentally ill, people are dying of heart attacks, and so forth. All I have to do is just look at the physics of the human body, and it's governed by energy pulses. You have a small current going through your body. And even the movie The Matrix kind of makes a joke out of that, but it's true. Your body does produce a certain amount of energy, and you're affected by magnetism,
mm-hmm.
physics. I mean, even on RBN, there is the Lee Kroc energy cleaner that uses energy to clean out your body.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, can you use energy to make somebody sick? I mean that's
a
question mark out there.
Are you talking about the Rife machine?
Yeah. The Rife machine can clean somebody out, but can the Russians use the principles of energy, like scale a wave, to make somebody sick, or crack somebody, or put signals into their brain?
Well, I think anything's possible. I think everything's been perfected.
You know, my friend, I think you're absolutely right. And what they can't do with energy, they can do with drugs.
Yes.
Or they can do with propaganda. So the communists have all their bases covered. Even if this disaster wasn't weather modified, guess what? They go to Plan B, which is take advantage of the disaster, and that's happened in history.
Yes.
Either way, the American people get screwed royally.
What do you say to people that think communism is dead or the UN is insignificant?
Well, I've heard that argument before, and again, I say look at the fruits. Is communism really dead? Well, guess what? China's not dead. Look at the back of your shirt. Everything you wear is made in China.
Mm-hmm.
And people dismiss Russia, but you see, Russia still has all these nukes floating around the world, and if we go into Iran, we might find the ferociousness of the Russian bear. And then I recommend people to read Anatoly Golitsyn's book, The Perestroika Deception and New Lies for Old, where Anatoly Golitsyn read the script on Russia playing possum. The wall coming down was a complete hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Gorbachev was a member of the KGB. He was personally trained under Yuri Andropov, head of the KGB. There are mind-controlled drugs in Russia that are controlled by the KGB. Guess what? It is a ploy to fool the stupid Westerners. But the rich capitalists who are in the know about this.
They know about it.
Yes, and guess what? The only time that people will wake up is when Russian nuclear missiles hit our country and when we're not able to strike back at Russia because of this technology, plus the bomb shelters that they have in Russia. So even if the scale wave technology was a crock, the fact is the Russians and their bomb shelter building program is second to none. We don't have any shelter.
Well, we have underground bases, but we just aren't privy to know about them.
Exactly. They go into them while the rest of America fries, but the Russians, on the other hand, their bricks are bigger than our bricks. I know people from communist Poland who have told me, this one old gentleman I know from communist Poland told me that the bricks there are bigger than American bricks. Their shelter building program is second to none. So even if all this stuff was, you know, X-Files cockamamie, guess what? The Russians still win because of their shelters and because of the money they pour into their military.
So you have friends out there, huh?
Oh, I have lots of friends. Like I said, I was a former member of the John Birch Society.
That doesn't give you privy to have friends in Poland or wherever you're talking about.
No. But when I worked at the airport, I knew a gentleman from Poland.
Uh-huh.
Immigrated to America, and he told me what it's like in Poland.
I see.
And the bricks in Poland are bigger than American bricks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I say the John Birch Society is because when you're a member of a patriot group, you get to talk to other like-minded people and exchange notes. And then you use the three witness method to confirm information or disprove it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's how people think. That's how you analyze information, is you use the three witness method. If it can be supported by three good witnesses, then it's pretty much for real.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't support it by three good witnesses, or two good witnesses, then you dismiss it.
Okay, so regarding weather wars, and I go back to this article, it says, experts have been warning about this dangerous phenomenon for a long time. American climatologist Kerry Emanuel published the results of his research that proved the dangers of global warming, he says. This is the article. The scientists compared temperature indices on the ocean surface and the speed of the cyclone's wind starting from 1930. It turned out that by the end of the 20th century, the intensity of the waves increased drastically. Now, I've already heard on the news tonight that the reason this is going on here with this weather anomaly is because George Bush was complacent on implementing the Kyoto Protocol.
Wow.
What do you think of that one?
Well, as far as global warming is concerned, I believe that's HAARP, because the principle of HAARP is to heat the atmosphere.
Yes, it is. That's a good point.
That's number one. That's also from the David Bay website, and number two, as far as global warming is concerned, our emissions don't create the kind of global warming that, let's say, a volcano can create, and you can make a volcano go off with the kind of weapons that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen. So regardless, they create the problem to create the solution.
Okay, now this article continues. The duration of hurricanes and cyclones increased by 60% since 1949. The speed of the wind at the storm's epicenter increased by 50% since 1970, while the water's temperature on the ocean surface is beyond the limits of the norm. So, once again, are we dealing with modification of the weather and the atmosphere?
Well, the possibility is strong because of the principles of HAARP and because of the principles of Scalar. So I think the possibilities are very strong, and plus other stuff we don't even know about. Remember, government technology is always 30 years ahead of secular technology. In fact, it was the military who invented the Internet.
That's true.
So that's all I got to say. The government, you know, probably has technology that's 50 years beyond what we know. So whatever modern stuff you see today, they got their technology 50 years beyond. And when they control America, you see, that's when all this technology will come out, and that's when the cure for AIDS will come out, and that's when the cure for all these diseases will come out. Well, we reduced the population by 2/3 now. We hit our quota. Okay, break out the cure. I mean, I'm sorry I'm sounding so bleak here, but...
Well, that's not any different than the way I act. Yeah, how long have you been awake?
Oh, I've been awake for a while, but like I said, I think I'm probably one out of a 1,000 that would probably even know half this stuff, or a quarter of it. I mean, I could never approach my friends with this kind of information. I have to give them the information in baby steps, the fundamentals. Are we a republic or a democracy? And then you try and build a foundation, and then that's when you get into the advanced stuff. What we're talking about tonight, this is college-level stuff here.
Yeah.
That the most people wouldn't even understand. So you have to build a person up from the bottom on up, give them the foundations of what we used to be, and then you take it from there.
Makes sense.
Because, like I said, we're getting into the fine-tuning of this, and most people wouldn't even understand. I mean, when David Bay shared a lot of this stuff with me, it went over my head.
Uh-huh.
So, and it took me kind of a while to really get it.
You think he'd come on the show?
Oh, sure he would. I'm sure he would. He's a very nice guy. And
do you know him?
Yeah, I do, actually. His phone number is on his website. If you want me to, I can give you his phone number, but you could get it off his website.
If you know him, let's set this thing up for one night next week.
Sure thing. You might be busy. You might be on a trip, or you might. But what I would do is I would look at his website and just see what his material's like.
Seems like you and I should talk off the air.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay. Well, can you email me and I'll send you an email back with my phone number?
Well, actually, I don't do emails, but
okay.
But here's my recommendation, because the phone number on David Bay's website is the phone number to his house, and.
Uh-huh.
And you probably talk to his wife.
Okay.
And but first, I mean, David Bay has tons of archives going back as far as 10 years. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could sit there for hours just looking at his material and having your head spin as you read his material, because he goes into a lot of detail. Because, like he said to me one time, he doesn't want to blow his credibility, so. So he does his research, and even when I get on shows, I try to be credible.
Yeah, now look at this. The International Federation of Surveyors. After the tsunami, how the surveying profession can participate in the reconstruction. And they say, like most of us, I was horrified by the death toll left by the tsunami, saddened by the thought of all the orphans and broken-up families, amazed by the magnitude of the disaster. Then I asked to myself, what can I do? I wondered what I could possibly do to help, how my knowledge and experience could benefit the victims in a tangible level. And then they talk about the importance of land tenure issues. It looks like what's happened with the tsunami area, according to this website, is that they're redesigning that area, and I think they're going to do the same thing that just happened in America.
I think I found David Bay's phone number. I'm looking for it right now. I'm going to give it to you. No, right here. David Bay's phone number is 1-800-451-8211.
Okay.
You got that? It's 1-800-451-8211. And another beauty of his site, too, is on the scale of wave technology, he also has stuff by Bill Schlebelin, Nick Beige, and he has part one, and he has a whole section that is dedicated to weather weaponry, depleted uranium, all kinds of stuff. Look it up. And my friend, I do thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Jeff. I appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, indeed, and have a very enjoyable night.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Keep in mind, listeners, this scenario upon us is, in my opinion, after all my research, a perfect opportunity to bring about totalitarianism in a greater level. Concentration camps can be opened up for these refugees, as they've been called in the paper. We are all potential refugees, listeners, every single one of us in every part of the globe. We are all potential refugees. As I go back to this website, Site of the Situation, We as land surveyors are aware of the role that we can play after a natural disaster like the one that affected countries surrounding the Indian Ocean last December. But how can we be sure that our role will be taken into consideration within the reconstruction plans if we are not there on the ground? As far as we know, a non-governmental organization formed to intervene after a natural disaster to manage the land tenure issues, a kind of land surveyor without frontiers, does not exist. So who takes care of land tenure issues? How are they managed? With its land tenure service, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN promotes land tenure issues. Without having a specific document about resettlement, FAO published some very good points enhancing the importance of these concerns. And here's one of their statements. Failure to consider land tenure implications at the beginning of an intervention is likely to result in unanticipated outcomes and may lead to it into generating improvement. In some cases, it may even worsen the situation. For example, by inadvertently dispossessing people of their rights to land, situations of this kind have arisen. For example, when projects have resettled people on land that was incorrectly identified as vacant. Interesting. The guides and handbooks regarding resettlement after a natural disaster, they found two documents produced by the World Bank Group, and that is interesting in itself. Economics of Involuntary Resettlement, published by the World Bank. That's Economics of Involuntary Settlement by the World Bank, handbook for preparing a resettlement action plan as well. World Bank, IMF, UN system, listeners. The beat goes on. Well, we'll have more for you as time progresses, God willing. Pray for the restoration of this republic, a constitutional republic, listeners, and God bless you all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit Discount.